Good morning. My name is Rick Hayden, and as one of the elders of the Baptist Church, I have been charged today with bringing you the message this morning. As you can see in the bulletin, the title of my message is called Life in the Word. This message this morning is one that God has laid on my heart. This message is from my heart to you, and I believe it's also from God's heart to you. So if I shed a little tear as I preach, it's because there's nothing more important in life than knowing Christ and living in the Word and being in the Word. In preparing to preach this morning, I was thinking that I want and I need to be that man that's awake before the sun with my Bible open up, seeking the truth of the Word and every single page. I want to be that man that lives what he believes with a gentle and passion for what Jesus Christ did for me. I want to be that man that loves the Lord with all of his heart, just like the Word commands, and who takes a stand and leads his family as he holds his Father's hand. I daily yearn for and strongly desire to be that man. And the best way I know how to do that is to spend time in the Word. So I hope that the message God has given me you'll find as an encouragement for those of you that know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And anyone here today or listening on the radio who may not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I pray that it will speak to your heart. I pray that God will give all of us ears to hear. So before I begin, I'd like to bow with a word of prayer. Please bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as I stand here humbly behind this pulpit today, before you and under your grace and before this congregation, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be with me as I share the message that you have laid on my heart. I pray that I do not get in the way of the message that you have given me, and that I'll be a true reflection of Jesus Christ. I ask that you help me be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit and to accurately and rightly preach the truth of your holy word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to start my sermon this morning by asking a few questions I came across as I was preparing my sermon and wanted to share the same questions with you. What would happen if you carried around a real Bible everywhere you went, just like your phone? What if, like your phone, you flip through the Bible over and over throughout the day, like we do our phones? What if, like your phone, well, what would happen if you read your Bible as much, if not more, than you read or spent time on your phone? What would happen if you left your house in the morning and you forgot your Bible? Turn around and make sure, because if you forgot your phone, you'd feel like a real weirdo or lost without it. Wouldn't it be great if you had that same feeling about your Bible as you do your phone? And what if you receive messages from your Bible? Messages from who? What if you couldn't live without it? What if you couldn't live without it like we feel we can't live without our phones? What if during an emergency, it'd be the first place we go? You know what's better than this Bible? The Bible never gets disconnected, never runs out of battery, gets messages from the author who is always present 24/7, and is more knowledgeable than Siri or Google, and will always speak the truth. Will always direct your path so you never get lost or led astray. And you don't have to pay the monthly bill. The bill's already been paid. Your Bible is so much better than your phone, yet people don't care about the Bible as much as they do as other important things, like their Bible. Well, this morning, I want to invite you to turn in God's Word to the 4th chapter of Matthew, and the 4th verse. If you don't have a Bible, it can be found in your pew Bible on page 961. If you don't have a Bible, please open the pew Bible and follow along. And then when our service is over, please take that pew Bible as a gift from our church. We want you to have it because the Bible teaches in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We pray that as you take that Bible and read it, that the Holy Spirit of God will reveal to you the Lord Jesus Christ that this book is about, and that you will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a real and personal way, and start having a personal and dynamic relationship with Him. And to do that, we need to be in the Word. Now, when you get to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, I want you to lick your fingers this morning because we're going to be turning from page to page in Scripture. The title of my message this morning is Life in the Word. Since becoming an elder, I have spent more time in reading God's holy word, and I want you to know that it has been an absolute blessing. I have grown so much in my personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want that for each one of you too. This morning, I want to bring you a challenge to motivate you all to not only get into the Word, but the Word to get into us. How to make the Bible come alive in your life, as it is doing in mine. When you become a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, the Bible becomes so much more than black ink on white paper. The Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, literally leaps from the pages of Scripture into our hearts. And the living Word of the Scripture, which is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, the Bible has a very unique effect or ministry in the believer's life. It helps us discover our spiritual character, how we are to live in Christ to develop fruitfulness and faithfulness in our lives. Over the course of my life, I've learned that the Bible helps us to understand spiritual correction. That is, what is right and what is wrong. And when we get off track, how to get back on track in following Christ. The Bible offers us spiritual counsel for the daily decisions, both large and small, in the precepts, the promises, the principles of God's Word. We have God's guidance day by day. The Bible also encourages us in our spiritual conflict, for the Bible is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And as we face daily battles and experience daily burdens, we need the Word of God as our strength and as our sword. And the Word of God, of course, I believe, helps us in our daily communion with God. Because when we read our Bibles and get into God's Word reminds us of who God is. And it is the God of the Bible that gets in our hearts as well as the Word of God. Over and over again, you read these words in the Scripture. Thus says the Lord. Why should you read your Bible? Because it is God's personal word to you. Because it is God's powerful word to you. And the most important decision that you can make in your life is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart in obedience to His word. And that would include consistently, faithfully, reading, studying, applying, and obeying God's word in your life. To love the word, to learn the word, and to live the word of God. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm like all of you. I am very busy, and there are times when I don't feel like reading the word or feel like I don't have time. But this challenge of spending time in the word is not just for you. It's for me as well. I'm still learning and growing in my sanctification. When I am consistent and make time to be in the Word, that's when I have some of the most precious and intimate times with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and experience the greatest spiritual growth. So if we look at chapter 4 and verse 4 of Matthew, Jesus is quoting Scripture himself when he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That's life in the Word. living in the Word, walking in the Word. I'd like for you to think for me for a moment about the nature of God's Word, the character of the Bible. There are some beautiful word pictures, and we have one of them here in the words of Jesus, a word picture that describes the nature and the character of the Scripture. Here, Jesus refers to the Bible as bread, as spiritual food, as we live and nourish ourselves in the Word of God. But as I studied for this sermon, there are many other word pictures, and I'd like to go over those with you. For example, turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, and there we discover the Word of God is a sword. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Bible has the ability to pierce the hearts of both believers and unbelievers. So like a sword to sinners, to saints, and even Satan, this book is the sword of the Spirit. The Bible is also described as a mirror. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. It's on page 1199 in your pew Bible. James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. The Word of God is like a mirror. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Scripture, that's the Word of God, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer, acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I think that's a wonderful promise. When we come to the mirror of God's Word, we not only see the face of God, but we see ourselves. And when we respond by taking care of business in the mirror of the Word of God, then we will be blessed in all that we do. The Word of God reflects the heart of God as well as the heart of man. Next, the Word of God is like a hammer. Turn to Jeremiah 23, verse 29. I believe it's on page 774 in your pew Bible. Jeremiah 23, verse 29 says, "Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" Have you ever been hammered by the Word of God? I know I have. In personal devotion sometimes, God breaks through in my life, breaking down the barriers that separate me from God and breaking down those obstacles and breaking my heart open because the Word of God is like a hammer. But here's the interesting thing. The Word of God not only tears down, but it also builds up. The Word of God encourages us, restores, and gives hope. So therefore, the Word of God is a wonderful tool, an effective tool in the hand of God to build up the believer in Christ. The Word of God is also like water. Turn to the book of Ephesians, and we'll look at verse 26, page 1162 in your pew Bible. Ephesians 5, verse 26 says, "That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water, by with the Word." Why is the Word of God described as water? Because we are made clean. The word sanctify means to be holy or to be set apart and to be cleansed. The Word of God is like water in its cleansing effect and in its refreshing qualities. Then the Word of God is a seed. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. This is page 1203 in your pew Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 and 24 says, "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. What does that verse say about the word of God? It remains or abides forever. Why is the Bible, the word of God, pictured like a seed? Because the word of God is alive. The word of God is alive and produces life and growth in the person that reads it, hears it, and studies it. That's why we preach and teach the word of God. Then the word of God is fire. Let's go back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, verse 9, which is page 770 in your pew Bible. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. The word of God is like a fire that ignites the spirit. Let me ask you a question. Do you want your heart to burn? I'm not talking about heartburn. What I mean by this is, do you want to be on fire, passionate for Christ in all that you do? I know I do. If you do as well, then we need to walk with Christ in the word of God, because in the word of God, you meet the God of the word. Now, turn, if you will, to the book of Psalm, chapter 119, verses 105. Psalm 119, verses 105, page 690 in your pew Bible. Here we have another word picture. This is one of my favorites. The Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, is like a lamp. And as I said, this is one of my favorites and perhaps the most illustrative metaphors of the scripture. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Christian life is a journey. It's a walk. And so it is the word in this walk that shows us where to walk, how to walk, and how to keep us from stumbling, falling, and failing. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Then the word of God is bread. Just as Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 4 about the bread of heaven, now Jesus is the bread of heaven. He nourishes us with the bread of life, his word. The Bible is bread for the hungry heart. The word of God satisfies the hungry heart or the soul like nothing else can. The emptiness of your life is filled by the word of God and by the God of the word. Now, there are many other metaphors that I can mention, like Psalms 119, 103. The Bible is described as honey. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I don't think of reading my Bible as taking bad medicine, but rather I find it as joyous, sweet, and encouraging to my soul. It's something I always crave and want more of the more as I spend time in the Word. There is also milk. 1 Peter 2:2, which is found in page 1204 in your pew Bible. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Silver, Psalms 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. All of these metaphors help us understand the value and the significance of the word of God. Now, at the beginning of my message, I wanted to motivate you, challenge you, and myself to get into the word. In order to challenge myself and you to commit to the daily devotion and spiritual practice of Bible study and Bible reading in your life, I ask these questions. What are the motivators? What is the necessity? Well, I believe the number one motivator is that it will produce spiritual growth in your life. But to find out if we are growing spiritually, we need to ask ourselves some more questions. For example, am I growing in my faith? Am I stronger and a better Christian than, let's say, a few months ago, a year ago, 5, 10, 15, or 20 or more years ago? Have I grown or am I growing as a believer? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in my life? Do I love Jesus more today than I've ever loved him? Because the fact is, if you don't love him more, it's likely that we probably love him less. Do you love Jesus? Are you growing in his grace? Ask yourself, am I making progress in my Christian life? These are the questions I work on asking myself as I do a spiritual inventory of my life. Just know that it's impossible to grow in your faith apart from the consistent communion and fellowship with Christ in his holy word. There is no way we will ever grow apart from public, personal, and practical hearing and reading and reviewing of the Word of God. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, as I mentioned earlier. Like newborn infants, long for or desire the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. If you are saved, you have tasted the salvation and the goodness of the grace of God. If you have a baby in your household, you know that there's one thing that's on that baby's mind, and that is milk. And like a baby who cries out for nourishment, as Christians or followers of Jesus, we are to call upon him and cry out for spiritual growth. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says this: all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we are to be satisfied in the scripture. We should be strengthened by the scripture. Don't be satisfied with spiritual mediocrity. Exalt Christ in your life and elevate your spirit by following him. Determine to develop as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Grow in your faith above all other commitments, to grow in your love and Christ-likeness. I believe in you do that spiritual growth will impact others and you and this church, and you can make a spiritual impact in this world. Secondly, if you will read, study, and apply and obey God's word, it will provide cleansing for your life. I already mentioned Ephesians 5:26 and how the word of God is like water, satisfying the soul. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them in the truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. We live in a world today that is promoting what is called fake news, a world that is corrupted and contaminated by sin. There is always someone wanting to put dirt and filth in our minds, our lives, and in our heart. So how do we prevent spiritual failure? By spending time in the Word. The Bible is a spiritual bath for believers, and God's Word transforms our minds and cleanses our hearts, removing the dirt, the filth, the toxins of sin and temptation. Listen to what David said in Psalms 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Thirdly, the word of God will protect you from sin. If you will get into the word, you will be strengthened against temptation itself. Rather than being a victim of sin, you will have victory over temptation because of the word of God. Listen to Psalms 119, verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The more of God's truth that is in your heart, the more it will transform you and protect you against temptation. Today we hear a lot about preventative medicine. It is much better to protect yourself spiritually by the word of God. Psalms 37, verse 31 says, "The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip." Satan is the enemy of our souls. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants to destroy your life, my life, your witness, my witness. Satan wants to destroy your family and your future. But Jesus shows us how to counteract the attacks of the enemy, not as God, but as the God-man. Jesus himself went one-on-one with Satan in the wilderness, and he responded to Satan and to each temptation with the words, "It is written, it is written." Back to Matthew 4, verse 4. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." We should not try facing the world and the devil on our own without our weapon. What's your weapon? Your weapon is the Word of God, the Bible. We should build our life on the authority and the integrity of the Scripture, His Holy Word. If we do this, it will never fail you. His promises are true, and His precepts are for life. We should meditate, memorize, and make the daily practice of the Scriptures of our lifestyle. There's one other thing that the Word of God will do for you, and it will promote success in whatever you do. Where do you get that, you ask? Well, right out of Joshua chapter 1. Many of you remember Tim and Roxy Lambert and their family that attended that were members here. During their time here, Tim served as an elder, and their family was very active in the life of this church. Their kids were involved in youth group and participated in athletics in high school. I was the cross-country and track coach to two of the oldest girls, Ashlyn and Katie, and the junior high track coach to their older son, Tim. While they were here, Ashlyn was artistic and made posters of scripture verses and then put them in a frame. When I learned of this, I had Ashlyn make me one of Joshua 1, verses 8 and 9. Which is one of my favorite verses. The poster that Ashlyn made for me hangs by my front door, and I see it every time as I leave to start my day. Now, before we read these verses, let me give you some background of Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, Moses had just died, and God was commissioning Joshua to take command and control of the people of Israel, moving them into the promised land. Joshua was frightened. God told him to be encouraged. God encouraged him personally. Several times he told Joshua to be strong and courageous. In Joshua 1, 8 through 9, God says this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God promotes success in all that we do when we walk in the Word, in obedience to His truth, when we walk in devotion to Him according to His Word. This is the Word of God. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I've been discouraged and felt defeated. And what I have found is that when I spend time with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in prayer, casting all of my cares, worries, and frustrations upon Him, and reading and studying His Word, Christ will pick me up and get me back on the right path. If you want to elevate your life, soar on the wings of eagles, then the scriptures will be your wings to help you fly. There's one final thing that I want to mention in closing that the scripture does. The word of God will point you to Jesus and eternal life. That's the bottom line of the Bible. This book is all about Jesus. From beginning to end, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the subject as well as the source of all scripture. This book will point you, introduce you, invite you to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not a believer in Christ, if you're not a Christian, this book will never make sense to you. You will read it and you'll say, I don't have a clue as to what this means. But the moment you come to Christ and commit yourself to opening the Word of God, even as a baby believer desiring the sincere milk of the Word, you will discover that the Bible will no longer be just a book on the shelf collecting dust. It will be a living book in your heart and in your life. Too many people treat Jesus Christ as a distant relative, but rather than a personal Savior. And to be honest, at one time, I was one of those people. When you meet Jesus Christ, he said in Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. God is saying, you will have supper with me. We'll sit down at the table and dine together. We will have communion, and you will eat of my word. So when you invite Jesus into your life, God gives you an appetite for his word and a clarity to understand the scripture. So in closing, here is something to think about. If I told you on such and such day that Jesus would be here teaching, every one of you would come to church to hear Jesus preach and teach. Every one of you would listen on the radio if you couldn't come. Well, what I want you to know is this, that tomorrow morning, he will be at your house in the pages of this book called the Bible. If you'd come to hear him teach, why not read his teachings? Because we have them written down for us. Those of you who do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, I encourage you to invite him in and watch the word begin to work in your life. To those of you who are already believers, commit yourself. Consecrate yourself this hour to the practice of personal Bible study. There has never been a generation with so much opportunity as our generation to know and love and understand this book, the Bible, and to live God's word. So commit yourself to walking and living in the word. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this time that we could spend together worshiping you and listening and learning as we spent time in your word. Your word is an amazing gift that you have given us. Yet so many times we don't study it or read it or meditate on it because we claim to be just too busy or that we don't understand it. Lord, your word, the Bible, is the most important book a believer can have on this earth, as it gives us spiritual wisdom and counsel, and also guidance for every decision that we make in our lives, through the promises and principles and the precepts found in your word. Thank you for your word that arms us with the knowledge, the truth, and the power that enables us to conquer our spiritual problems, as well as face the daily battles that we all have in life, and that you offer us spiritual communion with you when we study the Word of God. I thank you that the Bible is not just an ancient book, irrelevant to our culture, and our times and our circumstances, but that your word is alive and active, and that it will change our life today as we faithfully read, study, memorize, meditate, obey, and share God's word. I pray that you will give each of us a hunger to read your word, to study your word, to meditate on your word, and to know you more intimately. If we do that, our life will never be the same.